We've had the privilege to talk about the voice of God for quite a while now. It's part 15, and here we're probably going to just land it on discernment. I will not do a full expose on discernment because it's a beautiful, rich, deep, very wide topic. But we'll touch on a couple of things that I believe is important as we land God's voice as a theme. And hopefully we can revisit these ones. Maybe there's one or two of the parts that stood out. Maybe one or two of them that you still grow in. But I want to encourage you to go listen to it with a focus on Scripture, with a focus on testimony, with a focus on the Spirit of the Lord, enabling us to hear God's voice. I don't want to live without the voice of God. And if it was not for the Lord starting to speak into my life, He spoke before, but I did not hear. But if it wasn't for Him starting to speak into my life 21 years ago, I would definitely not be here and my life would be an absolute mess. So thank you, God, for speaking as a good father. As we know by now, Jesus had to pay the ultimate price so that I can hear His voice. It does not come cheap. God's voice does not come cheap. And so we're thankful for His voice. I said at the beginning of the series, we will not rush it. I did not lie. It took us 15 weeks, 15 parts, and we probably could have done 100 more. But I pray that we as a people will continue to just pursue God's voice because we are blessed to hear Him. We said to one another, and we went through the why and the hows, but ultimately, and you will probably end with it again tonight, is that it is about relationship. Relationship, relationship, relationship. And a word of God can change your life in an instant. Who's ever experienced that? And if you didn't, just ask the Lord, Lord, come and speak into my life. We had intercession on our stoop on Thursday evening and was packed. So many people were hungry just to pray, so blessed, walked out. And then Noreen stopped me. And she just blessed me with the rhema word of the Lord. That really just encouraged me. It just really encouraged me and it invigorated my faith again because He's the God that sees. He's a good Father that speaks to His children. So I pray that you'll have those moments in your life. And not only that, we're not only on the receiving end that we will be able to be on the giving end to say, hey, this is what the Lord is saying to you. This is what the Lord is saying to you. And so, I'm just thankful for the Lord. Lord, may we just hear Your heart and may You just speak to us clearly. And Lord, may You just show us what real discernment looks like in a brief moment. Please, Lord. Amen. So we looked at, obviously, God's Word that is the ultimate basis to which we need to look when it comes to the voice of God. And that just ties in beautifully with discernment tonight. We looked at the Holy Spirit in prayer. We looked at dreams and visions. A couple of guys had more dreams, as Chris said at small group, a bunch of dreams all of a sudden. We looked at creation. We looked at the body, parents, wise counsel, teaching of other people, and then prophecy. And we stood still on prophecy for quite a while. And then we ended off last time, as Paul says to Timothy, hey man, remember the prophecies previously spoken about you, that you should what? Fight your battles. Fight the battles of faith with the prophecies God has given you. Fight with those things. Now, I want to ask you, that was a couple of weeks ago, ever since we've been on mission, we're back. Have you been fighting with your prophecies? Have you? Because the enemy would love us to forget what the Lord has said, would love us to get despondent about the things of faith and the things of promise and just live a menial life. And the Lord has called us for so much more, but we need to jot those things down. On missions, there was a personal side of missions, obviously for me, and then there was the Luxembourg church plant and the group and the mission, and we'll share about that mission in 2 weeks' time here in the service. But just one thing is, I realized that I had to diarize a number of things. And I can check back in my journal, I see, but the Lord has been speaking certain promises over me and over this church plant for Luxembourg over the couple of years gone by. I need to remind the Lord of them. Because that's how faith works. It's a handle. And we need to walk by faith and not by sight. So I want to encourage you. And if you struggle to do that, come and chat to me. Come and chat to Edna. By the way, it's her birthday. She's out of kids' church. So give her a high five when you see her. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks, Stellenbosch. Anyway, it is necessary that we fight with those things. And if you don't know how, please come and chat to us, because we've been doing it for a number of years. We're not experts by all means, but sometimes we like incubators. We carry the promises of God, and you can kind of lose them as well if you do not take care of what the Lord has entrusted to you. We do not fear, but we realize it's a kingdom, it's a fight, and it is a war. Who's ever seen casualties in the war of the kingdom? Who's in church? Who does life? And so unfortunately, the enemy, we don't want to give him credit, as I always say, unfortunately, the enemy comes after the things and the people of God, and we need to fight with faith and ensure that our faith is strong. Tonight, we're talking about discernment. Before we jump into the notes, maybe ask you, what is discernment? Just quickly, what is discernment? Is it an exciting topic? Do you Google it? Do you ask ChatGPT about it? What is discernment? Knowing between true and false. That's a brilliant start. Anybody else? What is discernment? It's a gift. Yes, it can be. Part of it. Not all of it, but part of it is a gift. Knowing between true and false. What is discernment? When do I switch it on and off? When do I need it? When do I... to give direction? Yes. And when we talk about God's voice, it's so important to know what is discernment. Yes. Somebody's... Oh, that's brilliant. I wish I had known that in the previous two services. Knowing what is really going on. I think that's the best one for the day. Thank you, Andrew. Knowing what is really going on. That is such a beautiful way. Because we are in a spiritual world. We were made in God's image and likeness. God is spirit, so guess what? If we are born again, we are also? Yes, I am spirit. I am in a body, and I have a soul. But primarily for eternity, I'm spirit. For all those running around and gymming so hard, sorry to break it to you, but you're spirit. Some of us are like, oh, thank you, toch. Because I'm not going to make my 20Ks this week. Thank you, Jesus. I'm spirit. I don't want to have to worry about it. But the thing is, we are spirit. And we want to see things the way they really are, according to God. For then there will be life and life in abundance. So when we talk about discernment, knowing right from wrong, discerning the reality of things, it is important to know what voices are we actually listening to. So part one, we kicked off with John 10:4. And I want to just quickly put it out there because it might seem so obvious, but hey guys, a lot of this is going around. A lot of this is going around. Jesus says, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Now, firstly, he's talking about sheep, and I don't want to run off in the wrong direction, but the thing is, he's talking to humble beings, sheep-like characters that follow the shepherd, knows his voice. Funny enough, goats don't do that. Goats have a tendency to love the voice of the stranger. And so it's a good thing just to say, Jesus, help me to have a humble posture, a sheep-like posture before you, and continue to do so, that I will be humble in following you, and that I will quickly hear and discern the voice of the stranger. Culture is full of the voice of the stranger. I've said it before, but we don't have the voice of the shepherd, the voice of a stranger, and some other just stuff in the middle. It is either or. It's not some gray there in the middle that we just do as subculture. No, it's either the voice of God leading and restoring, making whole, bringing forth life, or it's the voice of the stranger leading us astray. So what is the definition? The definition in Greek is diakrisis. Very simply, it means exactly what we've been saying. It's the ability to distinguish, differentiate, or judge between things. Spiritual discernment, particularly distinguishing between true and false spirits or teachings. Clear judgment or understanding in a spiritual sense. How often do we discern as humans? Quickly, this is an easy question. All the time. I'm sure there's math behind it to tell us exactly how many times, but we discern all the time. You distinguish between spirits, true and false, all the time. What does, however, affect that is the filter through which I look. So how the 20-year-old Retief discerned certain things, and how the now 43-year-old, believe it or not, Retief filters things, is just with bifocals. No, not with bifocals. With Jesus. To ensure that I filter differently. That I know what is true and false. And that I can live accordingly. Discernment is important. Have you ever heard somebody speak? It sounds so good. It sounds so normal. It speaks to your cognitive abilities, but somehow something in you just go like, bleh. Anybody? Come on. Amen. I hope it wasn't me. If it was me, you need to rebuke me and chat to me. Because iron sharpens iron, but we have to have those chats. We said it at the beginning, we have to have those chats. And so, everybody here says that I have had a conversation or two, or you walk into a room, nobody there, or there might be people there, nobody's saying anything, but yet you sense something in the spirit. Have you ever had that? I have that often. I have the glorious grace of being a bit of a feeler, so I have that. Now, just quickly coming back to the gift part of discernment, I've got two things dotted down there. I could have used many other verses. John 7 refers very simply to all who believes in Jesus have received the Holy Spirit. So, I want to pose a question. Who are able to discern? Spirit-filled believers. All, yes, all Spirit-filled believers. But it's on the board. But well done for reading. All of you guys, I realize that's a bit of a question. But anyway, great discernment, guys. But here's the thing. We'll look at it just now. Who can we, if we flip the question, who cannot properly discern? Right? People without the Spirit. Or people who do not allow the Spirit to actively work in their lives and practice the things of the Spirit. We'll look at that just now. I know it's dumbed down, but it's so important because otherwise some people might think, well, it is a gift and only certain people can discern. But firstly and foremostly, all believers has the ability to discern. All believers has the ability to grow in discernment, mature in discernment, and discern better and better as they build relationship with Jesus. Does that make sense? And then we've got the second part, which refers to the gift. 1 Corinthians 12:10 refers to the gift of discernment. What is that? Anybody? Okay, cool. I'll answer. It is very simply this, that the Lord has gifted a church or the church with people with gifts, and amongst them, the gift of discernment. Why? Because then the elders or the intercessors or the interesting prophetic weird people like me and some of us can discern if this or whatever is brought to the flock is actually healthy and actually of the Lord's Spirit. So what we would need is I walk in here and I'm a visiting pastor coming to preach here in Tableview and I jump on the stage. I look quite shofar. I've got my K-Way jacket on. I've got my slides. I do all the stuff with all the shofar-y thingies on. But yet, something is not right. The intercessors, hopefully the pastor and elder need to pick up because they carry the gift, because they need to tend and look after the flock. Hey, this guy brings a lot, but there's something there that is not on. We're not sure, but let's pray into it. We're not judging. We're not getting all haughty and prideful and arrogant about it, but we're just saying, hey, the safety of the flock is important. The safety of the church is important. So often when somebody brings a word in ministry, I'll just quickly check the word, or I'll know the person, they'll share the word, but still, those that have the gift of discernment need to listen out. Hey, is this the Spirit of God speaking or some other spirit? And we might think, oh man, but it is so important because that can wreak havoc if not attained. So all believers, that's all of us, can discern. That's the one we're looking at. What is important is Jesus warns us in Scripture. We're talking about the voice of God. We're talking about discernment, but He often warns us about spiritual blindness and deafness. And I know you might think, well, that's not me. But we'll be surprised of how often we can just numb our hearts or get dumb to the things of the Lord. If we look at even the disciples, Jesus pipes up and He says, hey, Be careful of the leaven of the Pharisees. Be careful of what is in the dough before you bake the bread. They go like, wow, spiritual moment. Hey guys, we forgot to bring lunch. Jesus is like, on what page are you? I'm not talking about bread. I'm not talking about lunch. I'm talking about pride and arrogance. I'm saying to you as my disciples, be careful of the pride of the Pharisees. This is not a chat about lunch. And so sometimes we might fall into that trap. And I just want to say discernment is all about being able to see and to hear the things of God. To perceive things correctly, as Andrew said. So beautifully, I love intercession. Please do come to intercession. It's really a cool place to be. Really. Amen? Thank you, I see that hand. Anyway, in intercession, you would have heard that we actually prayed, and somebody prayed, Lord, that the scales will come off our eyes and that our ears will be unplugged. I'm like, oh, that's the sermon. That's the sermon. That is what discernment is the ability to see things right. That we will not be believers with scales on our eyes because of culture, demonic influence, because of stuff from our parents or whatever have you, but that we will be able to see correctly and hear correctly. I'm like, praise the Lord for intercessors, preparing the ground for us so that we can walk in it. Anyway, back to Matthew 13:13. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear. Some people are like, oh, is he talking about my children? No, he's not talking about our children. He's talking about humans. It is the fallenness of man. It comes so natural to us to be blind. And the moment we become prideful and arrogant and full of ourselves, we start saying, I see, come to me, I see. Then guess what? We become all the more blind. It's a beautiful paradox. And so he goes on to say, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that he says, you will indeed hear, but never understand. And you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull. And here's a bit of a warning to me and you. In discernment, hearing God's voice, we need to be checking our hearts. Lord, help my heart not to grow dull. Why? Because I want to see things correctly. In humility and grace with a childlike heart, Lord, help me to see things correctly, that my heart do not grow dull. And with their ears they can barely hear, and with their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. So Jesus warns them. He does this throughout the gospel, often saying, hey, be careful of those blindness. You go look at Daniel in the Old Testament and many other books. It speaks of this, that we as humans in a fallen state just can't see and hear, and we need Jesus. We'll look at it just now. We need Jesus to open our eyes and then to follow him to keep our eyes open. Whose eyes are open? Who would like their eyes to be open? Hallelujah. Imagine standing before the Lord one day and thinking, oh man, had my eyes just be open to the King and his kingdom. And I'm preaching to the converted, hallelujah, but you hear the heart. We can go and share this with other people. I like Luke 8:10. It gives us a bit of an encouragement because we need it. He said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others there are parables so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Is he harsh or hard? No, but he knows what is going on in the heart. Are we going to get to the reason for that just now? But if in humility we become true disciples of Jesus, not following our own ways, wanting to build our own kingdoms and do our own thing, we will be those guys. I want to be like that. I want to be the one that says, Lord, come and show me and reveal to me your hidden mysteries. With who here has the Lord ever shared some of his secrets? Or given a revelation? Or given some beautiful nugget or jewel to share with somebody else? I think most of us. What a glorious moment. He doesn't just let it lie around. He doesn't just dish it out. But to those who come to him with beautiful heart, he does. what I hear here is that we need an active relationship with the Lord not to be blind. We need an active relationship with the Lord not to have our ears dulled to the voice of God. What is necessary, I believe, is humility, a wholehearted yes, and true discipleship. If it's a 50-50 thing, you're going to struggle to discern. It's an all or nothing key to the Lord. And this is not a hard word, but it's an all or nothing. Lord, my life is really not my own. I really follow you, Jesus. Yes, I may make mistakes, but with my whole heart, I want to follow you. It is in that safe space of relationship where he says, I entrust you now to show you the real truth, as Andrew beautifully said to us. And it's that place which I believe is for sons and daughters. So let's look at Jesus, the one who cures that blindness for us, as we look at 1 Corinthians 2 and quickly look at a couple of truths for us to be encouraged to discern and discern well. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Had the people known the truth, if they saw the reality for what it was, they would not have crucified Christ. Why did they crucify Christ? Because of blindness and deception of whom? The enemy. So what are we fighting against, guys? What are we fighting against? We want to hear the Lord's voice. We want to see the ways of God. We are fighting against that blindness that comes in that is so natural to the flesh. But we look to Christ so that our eyes may continue to be open. Verse 9. However, as it's written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God prepared for those who love him. And here we quickly need to park. By the show of hands, who would like to be strong in discernment? Hallelujah. By the show of hands, if I may, who would like their eyes and ears to be wide open to the things of the Lord? Who wants to know what the real key is for great discernment? It's to love God. It is to love God. Why on earth is that even a thing? Because if you love somebody, you care about what they care about. And discernment is all about that. What is truth in God's eyes? What is real truth as God Creator intended it to be through His Son? And if what is important to Him becomes important to me, then discernment is constantly important to me. Because of what? Because I have to? Because Scripture says so? No, because, yes, Scripture does say so, but because I love Him. I've fallen in love with this Redeemer of my soul. That's why it's so important for me to know, should I turn left or right? Because the sensitivity of the connectedness that I have with my Father now is so sacred, I don't want to lose that. He's not micromanaging me. He's not using me as a puppet on a string. He's wooed me into this relationship. He's given me life again for eternity. He's restored so much. And I'm just saying, I love you. So I want to know, what is the reality of life? What is the truth about life? And as Solomon said, give me a discerning heart so I may understand the things of your kingdom. Because if I have this hard and fast rule, like we need to be a discerning people, we need to discern, but we don't actually care what God says, then discernment is just a bit of a dull exercise. And it can become a religious formula. True discernment was portrayed about Jesus through Jesus Christ as the Son of God here on earth. We'll look at that very briefly just now. He is the ultimate discernment, this walking with the Father. Because he had to know, because he loved, and he was loved by his Father. Why do I want to discern once again? It's because I've seen his gracious love that I did not deserve. That's why I want to know. So, I preached this morning twice at Durbanville, and here tonight, and I'm also submitting an essay later on tonight. So, it's a full day, but it's also my wife's birthday. And her birthday is a big thing. Bless you, Leafy, if you listen to this. But here's the thing. I couldn't just say yes because I would like to go and preach there and I would like to do these things. I had to have a conversation with her. And so, hey, Leaf, can we do the sacrifice in light of the fact that it's your birthday and then have a couple of days off after that? And we had to have a conversation. I needed to discern where her heart is. Why? Because her heart matters to me. Do I get it right all the time? No, I don't. I can hear her say that. No, I can't. It doesn't work like that. I promise. But I had to have that conversation because of a love relationship. I needed to discern where we're at. And obviously, we are introducing Jesus into the story because we're building His kingdom and saying, Jesus, what do you want? Is it a sacrifice that you allow, yes or no? And then there was unity. But ultimately, that discernment, that yes or no, was because of love. And I want to drive this home as we end off the season with it. It's like, it's not being right. I don't want to be that guy that, ek het van Here gehoor, ek het reg onderskei. No, that's not the heart of discernment. The heart of discernment is this is our dad's way of doing it. And sometimes discernment might lead to us dying on a cross. Amen? So it's not all nice and dandy, just the easy stuff. It's also sacrifice. He might say, hey, pack up your stuff and go plant yourself in another nation so that fruit may come from it. So He might ask tough stuff from us. Go read through Scripture. But it needs to be propelled. It needs to be permeated with real love. So maybe if discernment is a tough conversation, maybe it's not a discernment issue. Maybe it's a love conversation you need to have with Jesus. Say, draw my heart back to my first love so that I want to discern how to follow You. He goes on. In verse 12, what we have received is not the spirit of this world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given to us. Listen to this. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but the words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities to spiritual taught people. So we hear by the Spirit. The person without the Spirit does not accept these things that come from the Spirit, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. What does this mean? Very simply means the world thinks that this, what we are talking about, what we are doing is foolishness, but yet we've been given the gracious Spirit of God so that we may see and understand and live differently but for eternity. Just quickly up there in verse 11, it says, in the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Just quickly, just an ad break, because this is so important. No one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Okay, cool. So the Spirit of God knows what God is thinking. Remember, this is the one we love. Where does the Holy Spirit stay now? It lives in us. Guys, I want you to see this. According to Scripture, the Spirit is the only one who knows the thoughts of God. And that Spirit who knows the thoughts of God lives where? In you. Boom. Like what? Like what else can we possibly need? But, as Jesus, we need to walk by the Spirit. Because the one who carries the thoughts of God for all and in all and all situations for all of time, that Spirit, having all that wisdom, lives in me, lives in you. I'm like, wow, we should not be struggling at all with anything, really. We just need to stay intimate. So as Jesus did, we need to what? Walk by the Spirit. Let's quickly look at those scriptures. Maybe just flight one or two of them. Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's a good one. He who says he abides in Jesus ought himself also to walk just as he walked. What does this mean? It means because of love for God, a love intimate relationship. We have the Spirit. We walk by the Spirit. And if we walk by the Spirit, discernment is an easy thing. In the small moments and the big moments. This morning in Durbanville, it was one or two people that actually came to me afterwards and they just want to know, should I quit my job and get another job? And I know that's a really, really big thing for many of us. But I've learned that if I've learn from the Lord to buy with Him, to shop with Him, to do life with Him, to take my meetings or not take my meetings with Him. If I consult and walk with the Lord, walk by the Spirit in the small menial things of life, and of ministry, then when a big moment like that arrives, it's easy. Because I know Him. And I know His voice. That's what Jesus taught us. Doing what He sees the Father doing and saying what He hears the Father saying. We don't have time to look at how we walk by the Spirit, but this is what we're called to do. I want to just lastly look at how do we grow in discernment. And we've touched on it. It's very obvious. Guys, we're going to grow in discernment if we are intimate with the Lord, if we spend time. If you have your oil lamp filled up, it means you'll be able to discern. How do we do that? By time in His Word, time in His Word, time in His Word, time in His Word, time in His Word. This is Jesus. In print. The living part is spiritual. Yes, I do know that. And you can read this as a Pharisee, but we're not Pharisees. Hallelujah. But if you spend time with Jesus, it cannot only be on your back with your earphones. It sometimes and often need to be in here. Not on your phone, in here. That's how I grow in intimacy with Jesus. Growing in the Spirit, prayer, and then growing in the body. And I want to just quickly link those two together. Is that if you want to grow in discernment, hang out with people that discern well. Sorry, but hang out with people that you've seen discern well. You've looked at the fruit of their life, looked at the prayer life, looked at what they have walked with the Lord and the intimate ways of that they've been walking with the Lord, and spend time with them. I'm just thankful for discerners, fellow discerners. I'm thankful for a praying wife that could rub off on me over the last 20 years of being saved. I'm thankful for a Hein. I'm thankful for a Petrie. I'm thankful for a bunch of you guys just rubbing off on me and discerning the Lord and getting to know His character. Because we need Christ in balance, Word, Spirit, and body. We know that we need to be anchored in love, and then we can just go to the last one as we end off this series. Is that if we truly want to discern, we know it's relational, we know it's love, we know it's because of the Spirit in us, we know that we need to walk as Christ did because of the Spirit in us, but we need to practice and train. Who likes practice and training? Imagine Strava for discernment. What is your PB on flexing those muscles on discernment? We might snigger and laugh at it, but one day we'll stand before the King of Kings. And it will matter how I discern. Not saying this harshly, but it will matter what happened here and what happened here. What led to my actions. It will matter. Make no mistake. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will reap. Whatever I've discerned and whatever the choices I've made throughout my life, bar the grace of Christ, thank you, we have that. I will stand before Him one day saying, this is what I've discerned and what I've done with my discernment. And then I might hear a couple of things. I would like to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Come and enjoy eternity with me. Would you like that? I hope so. Will you stand with me, please? 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, test all things, hold fast to what is good, abstain from every evil. And Hebrews 5:14 says, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have the powers of discernment trained by constant practice. Wow. The discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Let's hang with the right crowd. Let's hang with Christ. Let's hang with His Holy Spirit. But then also let's hang with the crowd that actually takes a loving relationship with God seriously and takes discerning the ways of God also seriously. But we want to bear those fruit as we stand before Him one day. May we hear His voice. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You that You made it crystal clear through intercession and through worship and in the sermon, Lord, that You want us to be a people that see and hear. So if you just want to double check that with the Lord, saying, Lord, if there's any scales on my eyes spiritually, emotionally, or if my ears are plugged up in any way, if that is You and you just want to double check with Christ, just raise your hand and say, Lord, take the scales away. Take any form of blindness or numbness in my heart away. And Lord, come and unplug my ears again so I may discern faithfully and righteously. Thank You for these hands. Thank You, Lord, for these hands. So that as Andrew said, I can see correctly. That I can see reality as God sees it. Thank You, Lord, for these hands. Holy Spirit, You are welcome just to come and convict where repentance is needed. Hallelujah. Thank You that You'll lead us in freedom. Where restoration and healing is necessary, that You will do so, Holy Spirit. What we just come and give ourselves, and as a church, we give ourselves to You and say, we humble ourselves before the Lord. We want to be a people to see and to hear, not running around saying, "Hey, we see, we hear." No, that's not the church we are. But we want to be sons and daughters like Christ, saying, "Lord, I'm blind, help me to see. I've been deaf, help me to see, by grace." Thank you for scales to fall off, ears to be unplugged, in Jesus' name. We thank you for that, Lord. And then I just want to simply make a commitment to the voice of God as we lay this theme down. The theme will stay forevermore. We cannot stop talking about the voice of God. Never. We are here because of the voice of God. We will be there one day because of the voice of God. And we will travel on this road because of the voice of God. So thank you, Lord. That will not stop. Even though we park this sermon series, thank you that I pray that your voice will continue to be a strong pillar in every house, in every home, in every life in this church community. We say the shepherd's voice is welcome. The shepherd's voice is welcome in discernment. The shepherd's voice is welcome to lead. The shepherd's voice is welcome to establish, to call forth, to redeem, to discipline, to love, to comfort, to feed, to make whole. Shepherd's voice, you are welcome in our midst forevermore. And thank you, Lord, that we can rebuke the stranger's voice in any form, especially also for our children and for the generation to come. And we pray that we'll be discerners that step upon the lies of the enemy by your grace, in humility. Your kingdom come and your will be done. We honor you. We thank you that through Christ, you continue to speak to us as a people. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.